what an effort that is. A wonderful goal for Titus.
Brighton Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And I'm also joined by Shane Lees.
Hello.
So a bit of a special show tonight. We're going to have a bit of a debate about Football League and the media coverage that the Football League gets. So I'll start with just talking a bit about what the current rights are. So at the moment, it's mainly the BBC I want to talk about because they used to have the highlights rights and they used to show live games, but don't really do so now. At the moment, it's Sky do all the live games, 112 games a year they get, and then the highlights show on Channel 5. So I guess we'll start with Channel 5, the highlights show. I mean, I know it got a lot of criticism to start with, but I don't know if either of you watch it. I think it's improved a bit, but it's overall, I think it's a pretty poor show.
Well, it's not terrible, because, I mean, let's face it, nobody would care if Match of the Day was just highlights. You know, none of the analysis crap. No one would really care. They just want to watch the goals that win in that day. So I think as long as you've got the highlights, you've probably got half a decent show there. Probably it's Channel 5. No one watches Channel 5. No one even knows Channel 5 still exists. No one cares about Channel 5. There is no further greater oblivion that the Football League show could have gone to than Channel 5. Might as well not exist.
The show's got better. I mean, it started off very poorly, but it's got better. It'd be nice if maybe there was some live games on Siesta, because I love that Championship season where BBC had 10 games. I think it was a year.
Yeah, they did.
Really,
yeah.
Good. It sort of promotes it very well. But obviously, I know there's so much. Obviously, it's all about money, really. Sky just, there's probably just no way of that happening anymore. But it would be nice if, like, Channel 5 did say, have like 10 games, maybe a year, or 5 games or something. But I think with regards to Channel 5, yeah, it's highlights on Siesta, really, isn't it?
I think the thing is, Channel 5 can't go and get live games because it's too expensive. It's massively ironic. It's too expensive for Channel 5. And BBC can't get it because it's too expensive. But the only people who are going to give it a fair coverage are people like the BBC, because they're not about profit. So, that, you know, it's like what they've been doing with the FA Cup. I love what the BBC have done with the FA Cup. They've made it really about the roots of the FA Cup. They've made it about the smaller teams. And that's really sort of pushed up, because they don't need to just placate the big fans. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference to them. They're not going to make any money. What difference does it make? And so you need that kind of thing for Football League. But because it's in the hands of Sky, it's all about the money. And Football League doesn't attract the same kind of money as the Premier League does, or even La Liga, so it just doesn't get the same kind of push.
I just want to go back to a point, though, about the BBC highlights. I've got some stats. Average Football League highlights in the final season on the BBC got 1 million viewers. The average Channel 5 viewing figures last year were 350,000, so it's a crazy drop. But I just want to ask, you made the point no one actually watches Channel 5. Is that I don't know, is it something like Bake Off, you know, to talk about, bring up something completely different? Is it just, we don't like it, so the adverts, and it's not BBC, or is it because the coverage is actually poor?
It's neither, really. The thing you have to remember about modern
television... I'm not going to watch it if Mary Berry's on.
The thing you've got to remember about modern television is that not everybody is watching it on modern television. A lot of people are watching it online, a lot of people are watching it through PlayStation 4 and Xbox, whatever. And the problem with Channel 5 is they have no internet presence whatsoever. They have no real highlights presence in the sense of being able to do things. It exists, but everyone knows the highlight.
I watched it on PS4 already.
Yeah, I know, it exists, but the thing is you don't have the coverage. You don't have the awareness that it exists. That's the big problem. When you don't know that you have the option to even go and watch it like that, people skip out on it. Nobody knows it exists. That's the big problem with Channel 5. Nobody knows it's still going and that it's still a big thing. Because it isn't a big thing. And when you lack, in modern media, you can't just be a TV channel. You cannot just be an internet site. You cannot be any one of those things. You have to be all of them. And all of it has to be represented as much as possible. Because if you don't, you lose half the audience all the time. That's what's happened.
Do you think that the BBC should do more and invest in like Football League, like they did before when they had the highlights and live games and that. Do you think the BBC should be, it should be a priority for them in their sports package?
You know that they want to, that's the thing. You can tell they really want to, because the BBC do have a proper stick up their arse about trying to represent the lower leagues, about trying to represent the smaller clubs. And it's a great stick to have up your arse, that one, of all of the sticks you're ever going to have there. The problem is, if they put more money into the Football League, it's less money they can put into Match of the Day. And if they lose Match of the Day, that is the death of old football. That's modern football that's completely taken over at that point.
What was wrong with the Premiership on ITV? I don't know if either of you remember that.
No, we don't want that.
the thing is, the Match of the Day is so iconic.
That's it.
Yeah, no,
what I'm talking about is that's how you still get the younger fans involved with the smaller clubs, because they don't just dedicate every single moment to Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal. They're going to give some of their time, some of the football. They're going to give all of them their equal time, because it's not about the money. And as much as you want to say they should invest more in Football League, they only have a limited budget. The BBC is not for profit, and I'm glad it's going to stay not for profit. But because of that, they have so much less. It is the bake-off thing. They were, £10 million off of that one. That's how much they're being left behind by the commercial television platforms. So it's stuck between a rock and a hard place. Do you finally let go of the last good thing in football, that is the last bastion of old football, which is Match of the Day, or some of the lower division stuff, or do you keep it, keep inflating the Premier League, but lose the lower divisions? It's a tough one, but I'd rather they get Match of the Day.
But then the other question is, you've got other sports which the BBC does coverage of. Look at something like Formula One's a good example. I guess the BBC does have a responsibility to consider other sports as well as football.
Well, I mean, I think you've summed up there. The BBC's mandate is not to be a specialist in anything. It's got to do a little bit of everything. I mean, it's going back to sort of the Attenborough years where they had to have scientific shows, they had to have all these things. Now, the BBC has diversified a little bit more lately, and it's been investing more in what you'd call modern programming, the likes of Sherlock and all that lot. And yeah, you'd want to see them do more on the sports factor, but they can't be seen to be giving preferential treatment to one sport over the other. Mm. If they lose the rights because they're simply outbid, they'll give up on it. And I'll say, sorry, we just didn't have the money to do it. But if they can, it's a case that they will. And if they invest all of their money in sports, in, I don't know, the Olympics and football, rugby's going to turn around and go, what are you doing?
Mm.
Or Formula One's going to turn around and go, what are you doing? The BBC is such a good platform to represent any sport that, yeah, as much as it would be bad for the lower leagues to lose that kind of thing, it could be disastrous for another sport to lose it.
Something I did notice, though, I read a lot of reports on the BBC, reading League One and League Two reports this season. I've noticed the BBC don't write their own reports. It says at the bottom of every one, report supplied by the Press Association. I know in previous seasons they used to write them themselves. They had their own reporters there at the games, and now they don't do that.
Well, I think that's more of just a thing with the BBC as being cut to the rafters. Yeah, I mean, we've seen it with pretty much everything. They're starting to slowly lose everything. The conversation about commercialising more of the BBC. I mean, they've got the commercial win, which is BBC Worldwide. They're talking about trying to expand that kind of stuff. But I think that kind of stuff's more just down to everything's being cut down. And that which is clicked on less, that's what's going to get cut down. And that is, in terms of sports, lower league football, that's the stuff that gets clicked on less. Which for me is, fucking shameful. I know, I should be turning around and saying, no. But no, if they've got to survive, that's how they're going to do it. Because I do like the BBC. But I'm sorry, media cannot be represented in how many clicks an article gets. Because that is bollocks. That is straight up bollocks. That's all that is. Because then you're suddenly saying, quality doesn't matter. Honesty doesn't matter. Factual reporting doesn't matter. It's just suddenly a numbers game. And that's the point when you've got shit like BuzzFeed flowing around. And all of that cack. Hmm. Where it's just... lists of nothing. Crap, and you've got Sky with their endless articles about poor fucking Pogba, just because it's going to get clicked on. I'm sorry, I hate this. I hate the way journalism's going on the internet, because it's really not represented any kind of form at all in terms of paper. But that's the way it's going, and that's what you're seeing stuff like the lower leagues getting slowly but surely cut out of the main sort of presence it had on the BBC. And you can tell they don't want to do that, but they're forced to, because it's this modern... I actually hire people for these kinds of jobs, the digital people behind these companies. They're all morons. They're idiots, every single one of them. It's all just, how many clicks can we get? What's our SEO, search engine optimization thing doing? They don't know anything about journalism. They don't know anything about what's kind of quality or what matters. to sports fans, for instance, have no idea. It's just numbers to them. And that is such crap.
Do you think the media has a responsibility to support grassroots football? Like, you know, not necessarily the BBC, I don't want to make this all about them, but, you know, Sky, BT, other sports and football websites, do you think that they should be, well, of course they should be covering more grassroots football, but is there more they can do?
Well, in terms of is there more they can do in terms of just their sheer capacity, yes, massive. These people are rich as hell. They could pump money into the lower leagues of football if they really want to. The question isn't so much should they do more to represent lower leagues of football, is journalistic standards just beyond, you know, saving? Has it dropped so low that they don't care about? You know, it's what you said, the responsibilities they have. If journalists aren't just there to, you know, write an article, get 400,000 clicks and go, well done, didn't we do well? Look at all the ad revenue we generated. They're supposed to be there about honesty, it's about integrity, it's about reporting the news. And if you're going to put an opinion on it, it's putting an opinion of substance, something that's well-researched, well-thought-out. It was the difference between what Sky were doing a few years ago when you had Neville and Carragher. They changed the game. They turned around and said, right, we're actually going to have well-thought-out analysis rather than just some nonce who doesn't know what he's talking about. Robbie Savage, hello. Yeah, it's that kind of switch. Do we want more of that? And everyone wants more of that, but the problem is it's profitable to go the other way. So it doesn't pay to go out there and have the Football League being well-reported on. It doesn't pay to have them putting money into the TV games. So we're not going to do it. It's just all these companies are now for profit. They completely ditched journalistic standards for profit, because when the internet age came along and you could just look at the numbers, the clicks going up and up and up and up, suddenly, oh, with all this ad revenue, look what we can do. So let's do more of that. But when it was papers, you didn't know which articles were being read and which weren't. You didn't know which ads were doing well and which weren't. You had no idea.
I guess
so they couldn't do anything about that.
The difference,
but now they know.
With the way the advertising, the online media works, it is all about clickbait and doing an article. You'll never guess what this guy said or whatever. And with a, you know, say buying a newspaper or whatever, or a magazine, whatever it is, historically, you know, you're wanting something with an opinion who you respect. And if you read a load of dross in a newspaper, you'll stop reading it. If you see it on online, you're less likely to.
The thing is, when you buy a newspaper, you're not buying one article in the newspaper. You're buying the entire newspaper. Therefore, there has to be a certain level of quality going into everything. And that was how it was in the old days. But the new days, people aren't buying newspapers. They're clicking on one individual article, two individual articles, and so forth. So you don't need to have everything being quality. You just need to have the few things that are going to be clicked on, having enough in the headline that's going on social media and in the SEO optimization searches on Google, having enough stuff that people are searching. That's all you need. It doesn't have to have any kind of level of quality. It doesn't have to have any kind of standard. Also, because it's online.
Mm-hmm.
What are the journalistic agencies that are going to judge this? Because why would they judge an article some reporter's putting on Sky, but not what some guy's putting on a blog somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
They have to judge it all equally, or they don't judge it all equally. It's the problem of online, where you sort of say, do we need regulations for this kind of stuff for journalistic standards? We had it a few years ago. I can't remember what the big thing was when they had sort of all the questions about phone hacking and all that lot, where they said, do we actually need some journalistic standards? All the journalists said, no, we don't, because Jesus Christ, we're making more money than we ever did. Talk about a dying profession. We're making bank while we're in the online era. So it's, where do they go from here? Well, it's just going to get worse, because they, like I said, I've been hiring people for these kinds of jobs. They're literally getting worse than before.
I get a lot of information off Twitter, because I find that looking up these clubs, I see things which are interesting. I find the clubs and I find out what's going on around the clubs, because I struggle to find information on websites, you know, on the general. You know, obviously Sky Sports and the BBC are the main two, and they have a bit. But I find the information's not as good. Find that information as easily anymore. Particularly the BBC, I think it's gone really downhill.
But there's a little term that we have these days called the age of information, the digital age. So
yeah.
Talk about the age of information. We can find out more than we ever could on your computer, on your phone. You have the capacity to find out everything ever about human history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really weird to think about it, but if you put your phone in your hand right now, you have all of human history available to you. That's it. But we don't have the age of information, we have the age of opinion. Opinions have been propagated more than information has, and has been put on the back burner in favour of endless speculation. And the endless speculation has turned into just endless sensationalisation. It's like you said, the clickbait, fucking awful shit that's out there. And it's just all about how can you sensationalise this utterly benign, pointless thing. What did Ozil say about Ronaldo and Messi? Who cares? It's so unimportant. and it would never have even been thought of to ever report on it in the old days. And I don't mean to sound like someone who's, you know, looking back over rose-tinted glasses. Yes, the internet age has brought some good things, but for journalistic standards, it's gone through the bloody floor, and you can't find any information on it anymore. The BBC was the bastion of that, but even they've started to fold. They're folding under this weight of we have to go for the SEOs and the clicks and all that crap.
Nick, to go over to you, what do you make of it? What do you think, like, to find out Football League information, for instance, what do you do? Like, what sort of media do you use?
Well, quite a few. I mean, I must admit, with Sky Sports, it is so handy just to, on your phone, to quickly go on the goals. You can just look them up on your phone. I mean, I do, I still, if I'm in on Saturday night, I watch the Channel 5 show. If I'm out, say, if I've gone for a few beers after the football and just staying out, then I'll just, next day I'll just look up the results on my phone, which is quite handy to be honest, because I don't really care too much about the punditry. But if you have Football League information there, I think it's Twitter, really, if I'm honest. Twitter, I find the best way just to find information if you follow the correct things. I do go on BBC Sport every day. I think that's been a habit all my life, really. You just naturally type in BBC Sport, so it's like a force of habit, really, out of everything, just to go on there. But yeah, that's probably about my way I look at it.
That's a good point you raised, though, with Sky Sports and the goals thing. It's in the Premier League as well this season they've got, isn't it, where you can see all the goals which are scored.
Yeah, I think with the Premier League you have to sign up or something, or have a login, or a Sky Go login, I think, because with the Football League goals, you can just go up, click on the profile, and you can just click on.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it doesn't let you do it if you're not in another country, because in Portugal it wouldn't let me.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a good addition, I think.
I don't think it's a very bad addition.
What?
But, I mean, you think about it in a stricter sense, right? You click on the little thing on your phone, you get the goals instantly, and isn't that great? Okay, that's happening with the Premier League. What's going to happen to the likes of Match of the Day? Let's face it, the reason a lot of people watch Match of the Day isn't to watch Gary Lineker and all that long gallivanting about. It isn't even really to watch any of the sort of the punditry or highlights or all that stuff. You want to see the goals. That's it. You miss the goals.
Yeah, but with Match of the Day, I think a lot of people love it. Like, I mean, a lot of people don't want to know the scores and want to watch Match of the Day because they just like this part of their routine, really.
I completely
agree. But the problem is, a lot of those people, they are not the digital generation. We talk about the fans that are coming through. Like, what's happened with Lane already? How their fans are probably going to get stolen by West Ham just because it's a bigger one. You look at the new fans coming through. They are not going to have that routine of we watch Match of the Day on the evening of a Saturday. They're not going to have that routine. They'll be checking the goals on their phone, and then they won't want to watch Match of the Day because they've already seen it. Why are they going to watch the same replay twice? And that's where you potentially start losing that bedrock of football, those old traditions that we just have for no real reason, but they're still fairly good. And that's
why I say, if I'm in on Saturday night, I won't do the thing on my phone, but if I'm in Saturday night, I'll always want to watch the channel.
But that's people of our generation. When it's starting to come through younger, that will start to fade.
I think Match of the Day, I think, is a different point to the Football League.
Sorry to cut you off, Anthony.
Sorry.
What you were saying, younger generations, but what are they going to be doing Saturday night or Sunday morning? They're not going to be out pissed on Saturday night. They will be watching Match of the Day. So,
the really young ones will not be allowed to stay up until half 10.
I used to get up at 7 every Sunday morning to watch Match of the Day.
That's what I used to do before. If I wasn't allowed to stay up and watch it, I'd just watch it on 7 a.m. the next day before I went up, because, or if I had a football game on Sunday when I was a kid, I'd get up early, watch that, and then go and play football.
But with iPlayer.
That's because you never had the alternative.
Yeah, but with iPlayer, you can download it and watch. You know, a lot of kids watch it on their phone.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you're sitting there and you're I don't know, 10 years old, and you've not had that it drilled into you that Saturday is Match of the Day night, you've not had that drilled into you yet. Match of the Day isn't as big a deal because you've grown up with Sky. You've grown up with Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville, so the stuff that you, Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer doing, that's amateurish by comparison. And every kid has a phone nowadays, and as the girls are going in, they're watching them on their phone. Why are they then going to go and watch Match of the Day afterwards? That's the problem.
Okay.
It's that generation coming through after the fact. For us, it's just a standard. It's the gold standard Match of the Day is. But for the kids coming through where it isn't, where they haven't learned that, where the BBC is a fading force and Sky is more dominant than ever, it's what's the big deal?
All right, we'll look at Sky. They at the moment, they get 112 games a year under the Football League, under the current deal they've got with the Football League. I want to ask, do you think that this number of games, I guess it works out two and a bit games a week, 2.5 games a week, do you think that affects gate receipts?
I mean, we could speculate on that, but without hard, you know, hard and fast evidence, it's difficult to say. I think the thing with the amount of games they get, it's a question of quantity over quality. Because it's the way the games are promoted, it's the way the games are put forward, and it's how you encourage, especially the younger generations who are growing up in an era where you've got the super clubs, where it's going to be easy, even if you grow up in London to support Manchester United and so forth. That's the thing you've got to worry, is it being promoted in the right kind of way? Because if you're young and you're getting taken along to those games by your dad, you're going to go and see them anyway, aren't you? That's going to be part of what you're brought into. But if you're not part of that generation where you go and see games every week, it's about how it's promoted. And that's the worry, because then you've got like the situation you had with Man City versus Man United earlier in the season, which for me was an absolute farce, the way it was promoted. It was ridiculous. They tried to make it like a Super Bowl, and it was an embarrassment because it just had nothing to do with football. It's a football game. It's 22 people kicking the ball out of the pitch. We don't get into that whole, you have singers before the show, like they did that bollocks of the FA Cup last year. We don't get into any of that. We just want to see a game of football. And the amount of hype they brought into that was ridiculous. But the thing is, and again, I've got to emphasise it, the young generation are only growing up knowing this. This is the standard for them. So are they going to go and support, you know, I don't know what, Preston v... Who are Preston fans? Just routinely. Preston v Bolton. Are they going to want to go and watch Preston v Bolton at 7:45 in the evening when they've just spent the entire week, the only thing they're seeing is Man United v Man City, Pogba, Ibrahimovic, Aguero. Is that what they're going to want to go and watch? Because it's not being promoted in the same kind of light. No, that's the problem.
Celino last season, he refused to let the Sky cameras in. And it makes me think, like, having this discussion that maybe, I know we like to laugh at him and, you know, say he's a useless owner and all that, but I think he's got a valid point in it. Obviously, not letting the Sky cams in when there's a deal is stupid, but I do think it negatively affects gate receipts, especially at smaller clubs.
Yeah, and I do agree. I mean, I want to see hard facts about, you know, they're getting lower attendances because of that.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, it's whether or not the games being promoted on television is offsetting the then lack of fans going to the games, whether or not that will then push more fans to go to the games because it generates more fans. That's not happening. And that isn't going to happen because they're not being promoted at all in a fair light in comparison to the Premier League. So it's kind of a recipe for nowhere. It's just running downhill. That's all it is.
So what would you like to see? Say, well, Sky are obviously the big boy in football. What would you like to see them do to you know, improve their coverage?
Can I be completely idealistic?
Oh, yeah.
Well, for one thing, they've got to start getting back to old school journalistic standards. Because the only way you have any kind of quality then promoted is by just going back to your roots, going back to good old fashioned journalism. Good old-fashioned punditry, where you're there for the sake of the game, rather than the game being there for the sake of these companies, to make them the billions that they're going to make from advertising the Premier League, selling it abroad. That's got to be the first thing you've got to step back from. And then you can't have this... It's almost this... what's the term? I'm just going to call it Yankophilia, where it's like we're masturbating to the shit the Americans do once every year when they have their big Super Bowl game. That's what Sky seems to want to be. It wants to have the big showbiz and the razzmatazz and all the bollocks nobody in football gives a shit about. They want to go. When we saw the Friday night football, the first game of the season, we had Chris Kamara dicking about on the side of the pitch. I was thinking to myself, this is embarrassing. It was Man United vs. fans. I didn't even care about the game at that point. It was embarrassing what they were doing. They had these decent pundits, man. They had like Thierry Henry, I think Jamie Redknapp was there. And it was like, oh, look at Rachel Riley, look at all this crap they were doing. And it had nothing to do with football. It had absolutely nothing to do with football. And you need to start getting away from that Americanization of what is the English game. Because otherwise you're just going to regress into that point where it's all about the biggest. The biggest is the best. No, the biggest is not the best. The best can be a 4-3 game in League One. That can be the best. You've got to start promoting that kind of thing. You've got to start promoting them on even keel. Where the Championship games are getting as much of a promotion to go and watch this game tonight as the Premier League games again. But you're not going to get that because the money's in the Premier League. For me, I mean, we talk about the money that they get from the TV deals, the lower league clubs. It's whether or not that is offset by the fact that those games are then getting drowned out by the Premier League sides, by the Premier League games. Whether or not that's sucking away fans who would go and watch the game and now going to watch it on the TV and slowly get more and more disinclined to it. Slowly, you know, go and see these teams less, maybe they end up supporting the Premier League. So I don't know if people think, oh, that's not going to happen, you support your club. Some people aren't like that. Some people will jump between clubs. And especially when you're talking about the younger fans, because you do have to wonder, you know, how are you going to get young fans supporting the likes of Leighton Orient with so much pressure from a big club next to them? How are they going to end up supporting that team? Because the only thing that's going to happen there is, you know, the dads or the mums of those kids are just going to be dragged to those bloody games, because it is just so overwhelming, this Premier League influence. And so it's a big question of, does that money offset what they're losing in that core support? And I would ask a very big question, because if they don't get the benefits of suddenly the Football League is really well represented on Sky, suddenly it's being promoted, you've got to go and watch the Football League, look how good the Football League is. You're not getting that, because it's just being drowned out by, oh, look at Pogba, all that bollocks.
I think the big question is, because obviously fans of that own club are going to watch the game, I think the biggest question is, for neutrals, you know, what would make you watch, I don't know, Leighton Orient against Cambridge United? You know.
No, it's a fair point, but it's one of the things you've always got to understand, that people are going to be drawn to the quality. But the thing is, you can't have it to the point where you're sapping away, one, the current generation of fans, but two, the potential fans of the future, because that's the big problem. What are these clubs going to have in 30 years' time when that fan base has shrunk by half? Because it could do, because we've never had a media generation like this before. It's never existed. And because it is so all-consuming, so overwhelming, you don't just check the news when you're watching BBC News. It's constantly available on your phone, on your laptop, at work, everything. And the younger generation especially, they're getting more and more sapped into it, more and more dragged into it. And because of that, it's even less promotion for these smaller clubs. And so you just get stuck in this circle of, they're not going to get pushed forward, and they're not going to have the natural pull they used to have. Yes, I know, it's why would you go and watch those games? But the power of modern media is ridiculous, because it isn't just... You know, it isn't just watching an advert in between whatever you're watching on TV anymore. It's everywhere. It's in every single... Whenever you're, you know, looking up just the basic news, you're going to have adverts string down the sides. You know, adverts for Sky Sports, Man United v Man City, coming up this weekend. It's going to be there all the time. You can't get away from it. And especially with the younger generation who are growing up with this, who are more susceptible to this than ever, that's where your big problems come in. And it I hate to say it's a problem that won't be solved, because there's too much money in there, and there's too many greedy people in football.
I just want to finish, just want to ask Nick, as a Brighton fan, if a game is on TV, you know, if one of your games is on TV, do you think that makes a difference in whether you're likely to go to the game?
Well, I've got a season ticket at the Amex. I'd certainly never think about not going unless there was obviously some major happening or what have you, or Vazio or something. But I'd never think that not going to the game if it's on the Sky. But it could potentially help Bristol City next month. It's 5:30 on Saturday, and I think Southern Railway have already announced they're not doing any trains that day, so I don't really fancy getting a bus or get to get to London or anything, so or to whatever. But I'm not going to I'm not going to probably do that, so because it's on 5:30 on Sky anyway, so I'll watch that.
But do you notice, like, do you notice a difference?
We played Forest at home, that was on Sky. It didn't help with a Southern Railway having a strike or whatever they were doing. So, Paul and company. Obviously, that affected people getting to the game. So, obviously, it would have been on Sky anyway. People probably who don't have the season ticket, it would probably stop people from going. So, yeah, there is problems that I can. Yeah, if there is a game on Friday night on Sky, then I can easily see people being put off by not going and choosing to stay in a warm pub and watch it on. Watch it there, or even watch it at home.
Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it there. I hope that was an interesting debate. Thanks for joining me. I've been Anthony Kendrick, and I've been joined tonight by Nick Davey and Shane Lees.
Good night.